Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The FT.
A new documentary on the Eagles was released on DVD this week, following its screening at the London Sundance Film Festival. For the hell of it, I spent the last week asking people in the office if they liked the Eagles. As I had suspected, no one did. I was met by curled lips and indignant snarls, like the place had turned into a tea time for Elvis impersonators. The same withering criticisms were repeated. The group was bland, boring, irritating. One colleague said it was like asking if he liked buses, and that was just about the kindest answer to my question. This was strange. Here was one of the most successful acts in rock history, responsible for one of the top 10 best-selling albums of all time, their first greatest hits collection, and the most adored exponents of a cultural phenomenon, Southern Californian soft rock, that might have changed the course of the Western world. Don't scoff, young people. Go and Google the heady liaison of beauty and power that were Linda Ronstadt and Jerry Brown. The Eagles were a couple of strums of an acoustic guitar away from real influence. Or so it seemed at the time. Today, well-groomed sexagenarians, the Eagles still sell out huge arenas. VIP tickets cost nearly $1,000 a throw. They are loved, but they're also hated. What was great about the Eagles, their sweet melodies, immaculate harmonies, and all-abiding mellowness, is the reason they are resented by succeeding generations. They were way too pleased with themselves. They dealt with the injustices of the world by wrapping themselves in a wonderland of peaceful, easy feelings and gloopy sunsets. It was the purest form of escapism, and it led nowhere. Alison Elwood's shamelessly indulgent documentary features a lot of the strumming and the harmonies, but it is the discordant notes that sound loudest. "We made it and it ate us," says co-leader Glenn Frey of the group's dizzying ascent in the mid-1970s and its subsequent demise. Never did feel-good turn so quickly into misery. To do justice to the group, the descent is described in the very song that would prove their crowning moment.
The FT.
A new documentary on the Eagles was released on DVD this week, following its screening at the London Sundance Film Festival. For the hell of it, I spent the last week asking people in the office if they liked the Eagles. As I had suspected, no one did. I was met by curled lips and indignant snarls, like the place had turned into a tea time for Elvis impersonators. The same withering criticisms were repeated. The group was bland, boring, irritating. One colleague said it was like asking if he liked buses, and that was just about the kindest answer to my question. This was strange. Here was one of the most successful acts in rock history, responsible for one of the top 10 best-selling...
The FT.
A new documentary on the Eagles was released on DVD this week, following its screening at the London Sundance Film Festival. For the hell of it, I spent the last week asking people in the office if they liked the Eagles. As I had suspected, no one did. I was met by curled lips and indignant snarls, like the place had turned into a tea time for Elvis impersonators. The same withering criticisms were repeated. The group was bland, boring, irritating. One colleague said it was like asking if he liked buses, and that was just about the kindest answer to my question. This was strange. Here was one of the most successful acts in rock history, responsible for one of the top 10 best-selling albums of all time, their first greatest hits collection, and the most adored exponents of a cultural phenomenon, Southern Californian soft rock, that might have changed the course of the Western world. Don't scoff, young people. Go and Google the heady liaison of beauty and power that were Linda Ronstadt and Jerry Brown. The Eagles were a couple of strums of an acoustic guitar away from real influence, or so it seemed at the time. Today, well-groomed sexagenarians, the Eagles still sell out huge arenas. VIP tickets cost nearly $1,000 a throw. They are loved, but they're also hated. What was great about the Eagles, their sweet melodies, immaculate harmonies, and all-abiding mellowness, is the reason they are resented by succeeding generations. They were way too pleased with themselves. They dealt with the injustices of the world by wrapping themselves in a wonderland of peaceful, easy feelings and gloopy sunsets. It was the purest form of escapism, and it led nowhere. Alison Elwood's shamelessly indulgent documentary features a lot of the strumming and the harmonies, but it is the discordant notes that sound loudest. "We made it and it ate us," says co-leader Glenn Frey of the group's dizzying ascent in the mid-1970s and its subsequent demise. Never did feel-good turn so quickly into misery. To do justice to the group, the descent is described in the very song that would prove their crowning moment. The widely derided Hotel California, a deft mix of Hispanic melody and lilting reggae rhythm, could not resist a dabble into L.A. Noir in its famous final line, "You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave." The duelling guitars that formed the song's coda was the apotheosis of what was beginning to be called adult-oriented rock, dovetailing sweetly and insubstantially into a sunny cul-de-sac. It was, effectively, the end of the Eagles. Since that song hit the charts 36 years ago, they've produced just 3 albums and no more great songs. They live on reputation and on a small body of work that, like all great popular culture, chimed with eerie neatness with the climate of its times. The group's friend and occasional collaborator Jackson Browne, an altogether more brooding artist, went to the Eagles to help him finish the verse of a song called Take It Easy. He started it with, "Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona," and they finished it like this. "Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy."
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe, don't say babe.
In the film, Brown reflects ruefully on the seemingly simplistic solution. "Girl, Lord, Ford," he says, "all that redemption in one line." The best popular music can be brutally concise. While the Eagles tried to check out of their blissed-out lodgings, musical fashion changed. There was punk, new wave, dance music, hip-hop, and all the rest. To be meaningful, art had to be urban, edgy, angular. Woe betide a well-crafted harmony. The Eagles split up at the end of the decade which they had dominated and became a joke. In a Seinfeld episode, Elaine falls for a man who is perfect, apart from his obsession with the song Desperado. Steely Dan waspishly name-checked the group in their tale of marital discord, Everything You Did. Turn up the Eagles, the neighbours are listening. The two most important members of the group, Fry and Don Henley, substantial talents in their own right, did well out of solo careers. Fry acted in an episode of Miami Vice, no small cultural achievement. He shared the distinction with Frank Zappa and Miles Davis. Henley had another row with David Geffen, who sued him for $30 million. "I'd sooner die than let you fuck me," Geffen told Irving Azoff, Henley's manager. Peaceful, easy feelings seemed a distance away. But the Eagles continue to entertain the hundreds of thousands who turn up to see them play. Audiences are not particularly interested in listening to any new work. They want to hear those canonical works from distant, in pop terms, history. In this respect, rock music is beginning to resemble classical music, no longer about the here and now, according reverence instead to discrete bodies of work from the past. They are already winning their initial skirmishes with that forbidding enemy, the test of time. If you're holding a Colt 45 to my head, I'll own up to liking the Eagles. I love that they cared so much about getting their harmonies right, that they liked to play at being cowboys, that they had the kind of guitarist who left the group because he wasn't getting to play enough country licks. The music came first. When a kid picks up a guitar or a drumstick, it's not to become famous, says Henley at the end of the film. Proof, if it were needed, that the Eagles really have lost touch with the modern world.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Gonna take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say nay.
In the film, Brown reflects ruefully on the seemingly simplistic solution. Girl, Lord, Ford, he says, all that redemption in one line. The best popular music can be brutally concise. While the Eagles tried to check out of their blissed-out lodgings, musical fashion changed. There was punk, new wave, dance music, hip-hop, and all the rest. To be meaningful, art had to be urban, edgy, angular. Woe betide a well-crafted harmony. The Eagles split up at the end of the decade which they had dominated and became a joke. In a Seinfeld episode, Elaine falls for a man who is perfect, apart from his obsession with the song Desperado. Steely Dan waspishly name-checked the group in their tale of marital discord, Everything You Did. Turn up the Eagles, the neighbours are listening. The two most important members of the group, Fry and Don Henley, substantial talents in their own right, did well out of solo careers. Fry acted in an episode of Miami Vice. No small cultural achievement. He shared the distinction with Frank Zappa and Miles Davis. Henley had another row with David Geffen, who sued him for $30 million. I'd sooner die than let you fuck me, Geffen told Irving Azoff, Henley's manager. Peaceful, easy feelings seemed a distance away. But the Eagles continue to entertain the hundreds of thousands who turn up to see them play. Audiences are not particularly interested in listening to any new work. They want to hear those canonical works from distant, in pop terms, history. In this respect, rock music is beginning to resemble classical music, no longer about the here and now, according reverence instead to discrete bodies of work from the past. They are already winning their initial skirmishes with that forbidding enemy, the test of time. If you're holding a Colt 45 to my head, I'll own up to liking the Eagles. I love that they cared so much about getting their harmonies right, that they liked to play at being cowboys, that they had the kind of guitarist who left the group because he wasn't getting to play enough country licks. The music came first. When a kid picks up a guitar or a drumstick, it's not to become famous, says Henley at the end of the film. Proof, if it were needed, that the Eagles really have lost touch with the modern world.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.